Several countries are holding elections in the coming days, and Russia is going after some of the world's biggest tech companies. Those are some of the key global stories coming up, and with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of them is the BBC's Rich Preston. And Rich, let's start where we usually do, with the pandemic. And can you bring us up to speed on the COVID picture around the world at the moment?
Well, Mark, India is the latest country to be causing real concern. It's recorded its highest number yet of coronavirus infections in a single day, nearly 104,000 confirmed cases. Most are in the western state of Maharashtra, but the financial capital, Mumbai, also saw its highest daily increase, more than 11,000 new cases. Officials there blame a lack of public compliance, things like wearing masks and social distancing. At the same time, of course, India, one of the world's biggest vaccine producers, so that real tussle between churning out thousands of doses versus getting those shots in people's arms. Europe continues to have issues as well. Similarly, that's been attributed to social attitudes to do with lockdowns. Some countries have decided to go outside of the EU's agreements when it comes to shots because of the problems the European Union has been getting with vaccine supplies. So some countries going to buy Chinese and Russian vaccines. In fact, on Saturday, European Union officials are going to Russia to see if Russia's Sputnik V vaccine can formally form part of Europe's vaccine rollout. In particular, France, Germany and Ukraine, they're seeing their cases rocket up, which is quite concerning. But some countries at the same time seeing cases falling and they're easing restrictions. So in Portugal today, kids go back to school. Some small shops and museums and galleries are opening. And in Denmark, hairdressers and tattoo parlors are reopening. But you need to show proof of either having been vaccinated or a negative COVID test before you go for your appointment.
All right. So, Rich, you touched on Russia with the vaccines. Let's move to another issue going on with Russia. Various major tech giants are in court there. What's going on?
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook, Google, Telegram and TikTok, they're all in the dock, so to speak, in Russia. Now, on the surface, they're accused of refusing to delete posts which the Russian government says encouraged people to participate in illegal protests. But as you'd imagine, there's more to it than that. The authorities specifically accused the companies of refusing to delete posts which encouraged children to go to protests in support of Alexei Navalny, the opposition activist. The hearings started last week, but they continue this week.
So what laws did the tech companies allegedly break, and what does that represent?
Well, I spoke to one of my colleagues in BBC Monitoring about this. They're the part of the BBC that watches foreign media. And their response was, rest assured, Russia has a law for everything. And in this case, Part 2, Article 13 of the Code of Administrative Offences. And specifically, these posts were up, they were online. The government ordered the companies to take them down. The social media companies refused and therefore broke the law. They violated the order to limit access to information specifically. Now, what this represents, Mark, social media is the last part of the media landscape in Russia that the Kremlin does not control. And the pro-Navalny rallies have really highlighted that to Russian authorities recently. Now, after trying and failing to ban social media platforms, the Kremlin is trying to fine them into submission. On Friday, Twitter was fined 6.5 million rubles. That's nearly $90,000. Going to have to wait and see what fines land at the feet of the other companies later on this week.
Interesting. All right, Rich. Finally, let's talk about elections. Not going on in the U.S., but on Sunday, it seems like much of the rest of the world is going to the polls. What's happening?
Yeah, no idea why, but the 11th of April seems to be voting day for nearly 100 million people around the world. That's the equivalent of a third of the population of the US going to vote. Elections being held in Chad, Benin, Ecuador and Peru. All interesting for various reasons. Now, in Chad, the president, Idriss Deby, is seeking his sixth term in office. What's interesting here is he served two terms, which was his limit. Then he abolished the presidential term limit. And then he reinstated it again, but without the ability to apply it retrospectively. So because of that, he's been in power since 1990. If he wins this election, he'll be in office until 2027, with the option to run again for another term, seeing him through to 2033. Now, this North Central African country is blighted by extreme poverty and corruption. Transparency International ranks Chad 160 out of 180 on the Global Corruption Index. The US is at 25, by the way. So the election largely seen as ceremonial because there's no real opposition in the country, but we'll be watching out for that. Meanwhile, in Benin, in West Africa, the president there seeking a second term in office. Now, outside observers are saying this is an increasingly an authoritarian state, so there's no real opposition there either. It's a former French colony. Interestingly, part of its coastline includes what used to be known as the Slave Coast, from where slaves would be shipped across the Atlantic. Their main issues in Benin are extreme poverty and an economic decline.
And Rich, what about those two major Latin American countries?
Well, in Ecuador, it's the second round of voting. In the first round, Andrés Arauz got 32% of the vote. Now, what's interesting about the second round is because it's unclear who he'll face. It's either going to be the indigenous leader or the conservative banker. Now, what's interesting about the indigenous leader is because, as we see in much of these countries, the indigenous population don't have much of a say in the running of the country. So the rise of this guy, Yaku Perez, is seen as something of a nail biter, and many people hoping he will get through the voting rounds. One of the problems Ecuador has to deal with is it's had a big influx of refugees from Venezuela recently. So whoever takes office will have to prioritize managing that. Meanwhile, over the border in Peru, voters are choosing a successor to the current interim president. Their big issues are largely environmental, in particular, how to protect rural areas and indigenous communities from big mining giants in particular. And of course, the coronavirus. Peru has been hit hard by the pandemic. Keeping the health system afloat there really going to be a priority, as well as managing how to let tourists back in. They're a very important part of Peru's economy.
All right. That is the BBC's Rich Preston in London. Rich, as always, really nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.